Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, BetterHelp.com/mascara. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. You guys, I never get to start the podcast, but today I'm starting it. It's Jen.
It's Jess.
It's Fat Mascara's special 420 episode, man.
Got a black lights going on. Got the black light posters.
And we're really high.
On life.
Yeah, we're not high. Don't worry about it. But we are going to talk about marijuana and CBD products specifically, because CBD is having a huge moment in beauty.
Huge.
And we're going to have a learning session together, if you will.
Okay.
After that, Bobby Brown, our two-time podcast guest.
The only two-timer, I think.
Really? That's right.
Yeah.
She has a new company, Evolution 18. I just went to the event. I'm going to fill you guys in. It's a wellness company. And our last topic today, Cica bombs. You've probably seen these popping up more and more. We're going to get into a little of the history of what they are and what they do.
And our guest, oh my gosh, we have been graced with the presence of Garrett Muntz, senior fashion editor for GQ and grooming director for GQ. I don't know if I'm dressed appropriately.
We're going to talk gender segregation in beauty, men's grooming. It's like a boys' club today.
So, Jen, you and I are on the same page a lot with a lot of, you know, trends, products, love it, love it, love it. But there's been one topic where I've been a little bit of a fuss putt. I've had my arms crossed, a little bit of a believe it when I see it mentality. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the weed. We've got to talk about the drugs.
Yeah.
We got to talk about the drugs. CBD having this huge moment, but I'm not sure. I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I get why you're not convinced. There's a lot of hype surrounding this product, right? Its ingredient, really.
I think, and I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to let you take it away. I think that there may be something to it. So I don't want people like listening being like, but Jess, you know, they say, I know they say, and some people may be right. I feel about this like as if I were a chemist or someone who just was a little bit of a cynic at this point. Nikita Wilson, the cosmetic chemist, said this. Jeff Janeski, who is my fiance, by this time we're listening to this, hopefully we've been married, hopefully nothing happened. But like,
he's also a scientific director.
You know, sometimes people get a little carried away with the marketing. I have not heard of a cooler or sexier story.
Right.
In years. So when I hear 15 new CBD brands have popped up and 45 emails have come in, I have to think 3 of them are good.
Right. And you have your skeptic hat on.
Yeah, but I also don't know enough about the science, so fill me in.
So I did a lot of research on this, talked to some experts. I've been following it for a while because I wanted to do a story on it like years ago when I was at Prevention Magazine, and there just wasn't enough good science at the time.
You were token early.
I was token early. I was an early adopter.
Early adopter.
Yeah. So, but at that time, there weren't a lot of studies on it, and that's still the case because it's hard to study like a drug.
So why is this happening now?
So now there have been some new studies into it. But basically, just so you guys know, there is the marijuana plant and the hemp plant, right? There are two different strains of the, well, there's indica and sativa. It's very complicated. But basically, hemp and marijuana are the same plant. And hemp has been bred to have like usage as ropes and things like that. So it's very low in THC, which is the psychoactive. Marijuana is higher in THC and also higher in some of the other cannabinoids.
So like if Body Shop, because I remember being a kid and being like, oh, cool, let's get the hemp hand lotion. Yeah. And looking like a, you know, badass. The hemp plant is not, you can't get high necessarily off the hemp plant.
You might be able to. I think it's like lower than 3%. It's not what people smoke.
But they're okay. So they're not like farms.
Right.
Like Body Shop.
Legally in the U.S., you can grow that because it's used for industrial uses, rope. The oil is like obviously has flavonoids and all that good stuff.
Okay.
It's just a regular oil.
Got it.
What we're talking about is an oil that is either derived from marijuana or from hemp. Depends.
Got it.
Which is a cannabinoid. So there's like 80 of them in this plant. One of them is THC that everybody knows. That's the one that has the psychoactive properties. That also has some good benefits topically, but CBD is the one that has been studied the most topically, in addition to this one called PEA. But let's just stick with CBD.
Okay, yeah, this is getting too funkadelic.
CBD is cannabidiol. I've been practicing saying it. Basically, what the studies say in the dermatologic uses, I think we shouldn't get into the whole like, oh, it's anti-anxiety when you take it orally or whatever.
Yeah, that's another show.
Topically, it has lots of benefits proven with white papers from different universities and everything. But the main ones are that it helps with inflammation.
Okay.
Pain. It's been used a lot for topical, like to help with arthritis.
Okay.
And then in conjunction with other cannabinoids that are extracted from the same plant, it can help with contact dermatitis, atopic dermatitis, eczema, even melanomas, which I feel like is where the interwebs takes it to be like, oh my God, it's cancer curing. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
But the products that you're seeing now, they're like all over Instagram. A lot of them come from Colorado just because it has like a nice marketing story. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Those have the CBD oil and you can use them topically.
And those can hopefully help with all the things you mentioned.
The
like
only
the
ones
calming.
That are really, yeah. But I think a lot of people also realize, well, if it's helping with inflammation and pain and all this, it probably helps with inflammatory skin diseases and rashes and redness and rosacea. None of that has really been studied as much.
Do you think that the buzz around CBD is because it's actually superior to like all of the great ingredients we have now, like oatmeal, you know, the kind of water that's in like Avène's products, which we know are fabulous for, you know, irritated skin.
Yeah.
Or do you think this is just, you know, and I say this without attitude, do you think it's just like another great option?
Well, I think it could be potentially something more, as do some of the authors of this paper in the Journal of American Academy of Dermatology, because it could be extracted in a high enough dosage to have a drug effect. So as you know, there's some over-the-counter drugs that are used for acne, like salicylic acid and benzoyl peroxide. I feel like if this is studied more, that could end up being at that level of effectiveness for conditions like that.
Well, that would be fabulous, and I would be all about CBD. I would say, let's make it legal.
But also they're trying to like study it for cancer, skin cancers, other things like that. For now, yes, it's a trendy ingredient.
Yeah.
But from personal use,
what do you think?
I have tried a couple of these CBD oils. I just found out as I was doing my research, there was one. I was like, this one is the one that actually works. I've been using it on like my knee pain, more of like a body lotion for pain. Yeah. It's called Lord Jones Body Lotion. Mm-hmm. I found out it also has THC. I didn't realize that. So I looked into it some more, and they think sometimes in combination they work even more effectively.
So, like, did you get buzzed?
No, they're not sure the molecule can get all the way into your bloodstream. Okay. I definitely didn't feel buzzed, but I felt more of that anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving sensation. And that's like sort of me being a blind tester because I didn't know it had THC.
Right.
I was like, why is this CBD lotion so much better than all the other ones?
This is great. I mean, there's so much potential. Like, it could be, this could really help people with, you know, like severe chronic pain.
Yeah. For now, like, do you need anti-aging serum with CBD? No. But if you have like localized joint pain, oh my God, I sound like a commercial.
No, but seriously, like, you know, people with fibromyalgia, people with like lupus, people, you know, like they're so.
This is definitely something you should look into. Apothecana Calming Body Oil. They sell that one at Cap Beauty. That's another good one that I've tried. That one does not have THC, so you can get it in all of the states. Whereas if it contains THC, obviously, I think it's only like 29 states you could get it in. But obviously, this is a big topic. We can revisit again. Yeah. I'm sure you guys are going to have lots of comments for us.
Yeah.
But Jess, maybe now you're going to
take
a hit.
I will take a hit of the beauty CBD, and I don't have to inhale. Sunday morning, Jen.
Tell me.
I had my, we know that this is not approved, but I had my Diet Coke and my New York Times.
I thought you made the switch to like probiotic kombucha.
I'm drinking less Diet Coke, but I actually did drink probiotic kombucha the other day, but you're going to laugh. I shook it up because I forgot that it's carbonated and I opened it and I was all casual. I was having this like deep conversation with my friend and I opened it and just went like, and she's like, why'd you shake it?
Because like, my health is blowing up in my face.
But
God
she was wondering like why I was shaking it. And she was like, everyone knows it's carbonated. I'm like, I'm a kombucha newbie. Anyway, I was drinking my Diet Coke, drinking and reading the New York Times. Bobby Brown, full page, you know, style section, all about things that you guys heard about a long time ago. She's doing her, you know, hotel makeover, but she's also really going full speed ahead on wellness. You just went to her event the other day, right?
Yeah. And her website launched, 2 weeks ago, justbobby.com, which is like a whole goopy kind of website. So she's doing the editorial thing.
But she was goop before goop.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, she's always been into wellness. But the event I went to was for Evolution 18.
So what is that?
It's a wellness company she started. For now, there were four products. There was two collagen powders, supplemental powders, like a chocolate and a vanilla, a probiotic supplement, and then like a skin, hair, nails kind of supplement.
Okay.
And I talked to Bobby. We caught up.
So what'd she have to say? Like what were the vibes you were getting?
The vibes were like, remember when I told you guys on Fat Mascara I was doing this? Yeah. Now I'm really doing it. She's actually launching it on QVC. I think it launches today. It might be April 20th. Anyway, late April.
Okay.
Just so she can directly sell and then they'll expand from there because it's a story she wants to tell. And do I think they're revolutionary products? Like, no, I've seen these types of products. Of course, Bobby's the best saleswoman in the world. So she was like, I have the best collagen. I have the best probiotic. Mm-hmm. You know, all that. Well, of course, the marketing is like on point, like super chic. I don't know. I feel like people trust her as a wellness authority.
You know, you said they weren't revolutionary, but I think that's the thing. And if you guys read the article, we'll put a link on the blog. She is so about being, whether or not, like, you know, you don't get to be, you know, Bobby Brown by being like, oh, just keep it simple, you know, basic, even though that's her thing she said. I think she even said on the podcast, I keep it simple, always keep it simple. She's a really clever person. But she, when she started her makeup line, it was like, just keep it simple. Like, you know, the nude lipsticks. People don't need 85 different colors and 20 pan palettes. You know, she went to shoot with Bruce Weber and she like took basically all the makeup off. And she was like, people just want like clean skin. They don't want to look like 80s glamazon. And with this, you mentioned like the simple products. I didn't think of it like that. But she is not going to come out there with like a 12 SKU line and confuse the hell out of America on QVC. She's like, there's something called collagen powder. Maybe you've seen it. This is the best one.
Yeah,
done and dusted.
She did the edit for us.
Exactly.
This is the woman who brought, what was it, 10 lipsticks when she launched?
Exactly. 10 and like shades that you are not going to feel weird wearing to work.
She even revisited again like how she's like, I'm so glad I'm doing it this way and I don't have to deal with corporate America. Because as she was telling us, they wanted to expand into more products and more products, and she didn't feel comfortable.
She didn't
with that.
Believe in like, I'm making this product up. Maybe she loves this kind of product, but like a contour set or,
right,
you know, like mascara that lasts for like 45 hours.
Or having 40 different kinds of mascara.
Exactly.
So I think that's what she's trying to do for the wellness world, which truly kind of needs it because it's confusing space.
Jade eggs, like like massaging your like whatever. Like it is confusing. I mean, the wellness space, I'm interested in it, but I'm also a little bit repelled by a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I think she is like a voice of clarity. She's not 23 years old talking about yoga and like, you know, she's a real person.
Yeah. The products are good too. So I actually tried
them. So what was the one that you liked?
Well, they used the chocolate collagen powder to make muffins. And I was sort of like, isn't baking this ruining it? Whatever. Yeah. They tasted delicious. But because of Whitney Bowe, who we had on a couple weeks ago, I gave the probiotic supplement a try.
Okay. How was that? Is it a pill or is it
capsules,
chewy?
Capsules, yeah. Okay. Just like capsules. No burps afterwards. Easy to go down, whatever. I truly, guys, this is the least scientific experiment ever. I only tried it for one day. So it did make a difference, though, in a positive way for me, which was I was a little backed up that week.
I understand.
It happens. It got things moving real well. Not in an aggressive sense.
No. It wasn't like a bridesmaid's moment.
No, just in a nice Dr. Oz approved kind of movement, if
Beautiful.
You know what I mean.
Beautiful.
And so I took it in the morning, and that evening I got home and I was like, okay, thanks, Bobby Brown. Oh my God, her name's Bobby Brown.
Now that I think is the endorsement she's been looking for.
I honestly feel like if she were here, she wouldn't be mad at me saying that. And I'm sure that's not the only benefit of probiotics, as we learned two weeks ago. But they're well done. And I'm going to buy a whole bottle of the pills, to be perfectly honest.
No, she's really like, she is a pioneer in this space. And I have a feeling like after she's done with this, it's going to be something else. So
yeah, keep an eye on
it. Yeah, really cool. Guys, we're going to talk about something that we've just been seeing across our desks, on the counters, and it's like, I feel like it just kind of came out of nowhere. Zika bombs.
Zika bombs.
Zika bombs.
C-I-C-A.
But it didn't really come out of nowhere.
Absolutely not.
It came out of Asia.
That's right. This is another one of those stories of the beauty industry making a whole new exciting trend from something that's been around forever.
Forever. It's like as old as water. So it really actually like almost is.
Well, the name Zika is the shorthand for Centella Asiatica.
Centella Asiatica. You can tell all your friends
Centella Asiatica. If you say it fast enough, it turns into Zika. Zika bombs.
It's a plant. It's an annual plant. It grows in India, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, and other parts of Asia. And tigers, guys, you know I love cats. I love big cats too. They, when they got a wound, they would roll around in this plant. It's like
it's tiger grass.
It's
called tiger grass.
Tiger grass.
Sometimes, yeah.
Maybe it's called tiger grass because they like to roll around it. I don't know, but I can't speak to that. But they like roll around in it. And when they're wounded, whether, you know, from like a hunter or like a fight, whatever, it actually heals their wounds. Cats are so smart. I just need to reiterate that. And the beauty industry picked up on this.
Well, yeah. Actually, it's been used since ancient times in like homemade preparations for healing.
Right. It's not like L'Oreal picked up on it before the all the people from the townspeople just didn't realize what was going
on. And so earlier in the 20th century, you would see a lot in French pharmacies, Zika bombs. For example, La Roche-Posay is like a really famous one. That one's literally called Zika bomb. Uriage is another French brand. They have Zika gel. Embryolisse, which we see backstage a lot. They have Zikalisse, which is the same thing. And then Bioderma also makes a Zika bomb. So they were like a French pharmacy secret for a while. But you want to know why you're hearing about them now?
Why?
Take a guess, Jess Matlin.
K-Beauty?
Yes. This happens a lot with like ingredients and products. The Korean beauty industry finds a great idea somewhere in the world, and then they manage to do it and do it a lot better. and they give it a good name or they repackage it.
They make it very, like, cute and, like, marketable. They're very good at that.
And then, you know,
K-beauty.
And then women in Korea, obviously, when they go for something, the trend is huge because everybody goes for it at once. Yeah. So they made Cica bombs in Korea after they were made in France. And they've been around for a while, too. There's been Adopalm has one. Prem? I never know how to say that. It's P:REM. They have Cica Pro.
We could just say Prem.
But then in the last year, coming to the U.S., you've got Innisfree and Iope. Those are both Amore Pacific-owned brands. And even Dr. Jart has one now. Mm-hmm. And they tend to be cleaner formulas than the French ones. You know how, like, French products, they love putting fragrance in there, you know?
I don't mind a little fragrance. I'm the outlier there. Yeah. I actually, after my Clear and Brilliant treatments, I did go for a round two.
I did. I was thinking your skin looked really...
Thank you. Spotless. Well, I've still got a lot of freckles, but that's just my skin type. But after Clear and Brilliant round one and two, Dr. Zeichner gave me the Cicaplast. Sorry, I keep on calling it Cica.
You're Italian. It's the Italian.
Cica. Cicaplast Bomb 5. That's the one that Jen mentioned first. I guess one of the pioneer ones.
The La Roche-Posay one, yeah.
Sorry, La Roche-Posay.
That one doesn't have fragrance either.
No, it doesn't have fragrance. And actually, it's safe enough to use on babies. And it spreads, but it doesn't spread as clean as, like, maybe your favorite light hydrating, like, moisturizer. It is a little thick, but I actually like that. It's like a balm. It seals it in. But then it's healing
like bacitracin, but not without all that, like, greasy bacitracin kind of feeling.
It has anti-inflammatory properties, which is why he recommended it to me. It has some antioxidant properties, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's just good at, like, really helping, like, you know, like wound healing.
Yeah.
So,
like, you're a tiger who just got in a fight, Jess. Yeah.
I actually would recommend this. You know, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but, you know, I know a lot of listeners are really into a lot of peels right now.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. It's a great idea.
Use this as a post, like, I want to say post-op, mm-hmm. post-procedure at home. If you're doing your exfoliate, your baby facial, your whatever, even using like a little like brush or loofah, whatever the hell you're doing to your face, put this on after and your skin will be glowing.
Yeah, it's actually, and that one is $15 and it's on the lower end of the prices for this because the Dr. Jart one's like $48.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honeylove's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honeylove products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
So give it a try. Yeah. Just know that this has been around for a while and you heard it on Fat Mascara.
Guys, we've got Garrett Muntz here. I'm not sure if you know who Garrett is, but he came in wearing the most fabulous suit. Maybe because he's the...
what is his title? Spit it out, Jess.
Maybe because he is the senior fashion editor and grooming director at GQ. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Cue the crowds, like, roaring. Welcome.
Like, how does anyone even look at you without, like... checking their nose hairs, straightening their shirt buttons, making sure nothing's askew. That's a very intimidating. You're intimidating to be around.
I don't know about that. I mean, I guess
you're being modest.
People, I mean, I do get a lot of like, well, what do you think about like what I'm wearing or how, you know, how's my haircut? Like, right,
that's
when
loaded.
Someone first meets me, and you're right, it's a loaded question because it's like, how do you answer that? You know,
but you're thinking something, right?
Of course, always.
Do you think they're like being like, you know, like sadomasochistic or more like masochistic because they want to be told like they suck and they want to get better?
I mean, I'm sure you guys deal with this too. It's kind of like when you're a doctor and everyone wants to know, like, can you look at this mole? Like, and tell me what, if you know, it's like that. It's like people want, they simultaneously want your advice, but they also like are being self-deprecating, but they also want the validation. It's like very, yeah. It's a very weird kind of layered experience.
I always go with like, well, what do you think of like, do you have any issues with it? Like put it back on them.
Oh, totally.
Because usually there's one specific thing the person like wants help with and you have to get to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
My favorite thing lately is to say like, well, you know, we all have our own personal tastes.
That's that's sharp.
That's not neutral. It's like, it's a look.
Well, it's also like, you know, that's only if they like needle me, you know, like I'll always be like, oh, I love your shirt or what a great color or whatever. But then if they press me, then I kind of like the claws come out a little bit.
Okay. Well, okay. It's very clear from your writing, just from like the first time I met you, you really love grooming. Like, this isn't like, oh, they, you know, they threw the grooming duties onto you, like you're a fashion person, but they're like, hey, can you write about like this new aftershave? And, you know, I feel like in men's magazines, like men's media, grooming has been kind of like this little tiny add-on. You love it.
I do. I really, really love it. The funny thing about grooming is that guys aren't usually that experimental, right? It's more of a utility kind of idea. Mm-hmm. But there's some of us out there that just love to, like, try stuff.
So was there, I mean, we know it's clear you were really into hair, but was there, like, a product when you were younger that, like, was, like, your gateway product? Was there something that, like, you saw, like, from a family member? Or, like, was there, like, a guy that you're like, holy cow, like, this guy has amazing style. I don't have to be, like, utilitarian about my look. Like an idol or something?
That's a really funny question because I've never actually thought about that. My family, the men in my family are quite the opposite of me in terms of, like, what they consider grooming.
But something had to kind of, like, click. Something had to have made you think, like, there's another way to be.
It's true. You know, I think it was mostly looking at, like, TV and magazines. I was always a magazine kid, and I would, like, buy every magazine ever and just, like, cut it up, tear the, like, the pages out, keep them under my bed in a box. And, like, at one point I had this huge wall in my room and I just collaged the entire surface of the wall. I was just always obsessed with imagery and celebrities and all that stuff. And I think that for me, growing up in Charlotte at a time where, like, I didn't have a lot of, like, people like me that I really knew firsthand, I was, like, always looking outward, you know, mm-hmm. and I was looking at other stuff and I was trying to explore and kind of find my own stuff.
Because this was pre-YouTube days, people.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Like, no YouTube, barely mm-hmm. even any yeah. internet, yeah. you know.
And then what do you think, you mentioned that, like, a lot of guys, they see it as, like, utility. They're not thinking about, you know, could I go Faria today, you know?
Right.
Why do you think that is? That's kind of a big question. But just from talking to so many people who are asking you questions, is there, like, something that is, like, a thread throughout everyone? Are they afraid or is it just, like,
ignorance?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that guys, what I found in my current position is that guys really want permission to talk about grooming, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, a lot of it is, you could say it's, like, societal standards. You could say it's generational. You could say it's, you know, efficiency. Most guys don't want to spend the time it takes to do a lot of this stuff. Like, they don't want to spend hours in a salon getting colored. They don't want to, like, you know, even for me, like, I don't want to spend time putting on body lotion. I mean, it's such a vast question, right? Because I think that women grow up with the other side of the coin, which is, like, they're inundated by beauty and magazines and beauty standards and products and all this stuff. And men are the opposite. They don't really have a lot of resources to, like, even if you want to know about skincare or hair care or whatever, there's traditionally not a lot of outlets.
Like, when
that.
You were learning to shave, right? Because I feel like that's probably a lot of guys' introduction to the whole grooming thing.
Uh-huh.
Who taught you to shave? And didn't they say, hey, maybe when you're done, throw on some moisturizer?
I taught myself how to shave.
Okay.
And then
this feels like a Home Alone, like, moment.
Basically. But then the way that I actually learned how to shave is from the original Queer Eye.
One of my questions is about Queer Eye, but go ahead, tell us.
Because it came out when I was, like, a freshman in college.
Perfect timing.
So I had been shaving.
To become an adult and learn things.
Totally. And I have been shaving for probably a couple years by then, right? But I'm not the kind of kid that had to start shaving when he was, like, 12, luckily. But I remember very distinctly, like, those shots that seemed to happen every episode of that original series where they would be watching the guy on the hidden camera when he was getting ready by himself, mm-hmm. and they would all start screaming when he went against the grain.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there being like, I should never shave against the grain ever again. And that was really what... Totally. I was like, what if they're watching me right now? So that was really when I learned how to, like, shave, right?
Yeah.
Does that Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, does that Did it feel weird at the time to watch that show? Does it feel antiquated now? And what do you think of the reboot?
It didn't feel weird at the time because I was really interested in all of that stuff anyway. Sure. And also, like, truthfully, I watched it a lot because my mom loved it, and it was something to talk to her about when I called home on, like, Sundays from college. I think I haven't watched it since it aired.
The new one, or go back to the old one? I know. I feel like they'd be very dated.
Well, the thing that I remember,
metrosexual was like a term.
Well, that was one thing. Is like, you know, you hear that term now, and it feels so old fashioned. We don't even use that term anymore. No. And I think, luckily, we don't use it
because
I think it was very isolationist and weird. But like, I think that, you know, I would imagine going back to that show now would feel very dated because it's like not as realistic in terms of the expectations as the new one is.
And this podcast, like, you start to talk about beauty products, but then like real shit comes out and people open up. Is that the case with men? Is it like an entree to talk about deeper stuff ever? Or is it really just like product and utilitarian, like you said before?
I think it can be for sure. I mean, I think there's a couple of different things. I think that men, you know, like I said, they want permission to talk about it. So when you give them permission, it's like the floodgates open, you know?
Do you think that once, like, you know, I feel like we're in this, like, permission to talk about it stage, but do you think, like, the next level is that, you know, not that men's magazines are going to be, like, super confessional, you know, like, weep stories, but I think things like, you know, acne, hair loss, being too skinny, being too heavy, like, all these things, like, they're so emotional, but I never see this stuff talked about within the scope of men's grooming. And that's not like a neg on men's media or men's editors. It's like, I just don't know if, like, are we ready to go there in the same way that women's magazines, women's media has.
Totally. I think it's all about opening up the conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've run a few stories that I think are really kind of starting that. I remember a while back there was a big feature on male anorexia. And we recently did a story about a little over a year ago about concealer. And it was a first person essay by this guy, Sean Hotchkiss, who is a great writer and used to work at GQ. And he basically said, I struggle with, you know, cystic acne my entire life. And I tried all these different things, and until I stole my girlfriend's concealer and used it, I never felt okay walking out of my house.
Wow.
And I thought that was a really good, because I get asked a lot, like, how are you guys going to deal with male makeup? And I'm like, well, you know, for us now at this moment in time, I think it should be framed as a solution to a problem and not like a
color enhancement.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that a guy is going to start. No, I don't think the average GQ reader is going to start buying like an eyeshadow palette, right? But realistically, like, they could be using a concealer, they could use a BB cream, they could use all this different stuff. But only they're only going to reach for it if they feel like it's going to solve a problem.
So how the concealer thing is nice. Kind of way to segue into this, like, how, you know, I think of, maybe I'm traditionalist, but I do think, like, there is like a men's grooming category, but then I also know, I've spoken to some people who think, like, there is no men's grooming, women's grooming, maybe that they just want to sell a product that is unisex. But, you know, with the gender fluid beauty conversation happening, how do you kind of reconcile, like, you know, I cover men's grooming, you know, where do you, what's your stance on this?
Well, my personal point of view is that products themselves don't have a gender, right?
Right.
The gender that's attributed to them is through marketing and packaging and usually fragrance, right? So I think we, as beauty editors, we do see that there are a lot more genderless products coming out. There are things that, you know, I think that, and on the other side of that as well, I think that the reason that men's behaviors when it comes to grooming are traditionally so hard to track is because they're using
the women's
the products of the women in their lives.
So, like, they the sales numbers might not reflect the concealer trend for guys.
Right. They might not, they're not buying it themselves.
They tend to be more, there's actually the opposite of a pink tax, right? Because I feel like men's concealer costs more. Like Tom Ford and all the brands that do a men's concealer.
Totally.
There's no, like, CoverGirl version of that.
They're more, like, luxury forward thinking.
Right. Do you find that?
I mean, I honestly, to be quite frank, I don't usually pay that much attention to women's makeup at all.
But you agree there's something called women's makeup?
For sure.
Okay. Like, I just want to know, like,
What's going on here?
Because, like, I do believe, like, makeup and products, they're for everyone. Anyone. I can use an, you know, Axe body spray and, like, smell great and I feel great about it. But I wonder if, you know, in the end, there won't be any, like, you know, in 20 years.
Like, toys are moving in that direction, sort of. They're trying to, like, not have the pink aisle and the blue aisle.
Right. I mean, I do think eventually we'll probably get there. You know, I think that it's great that, like, CoverGirl has a CoverBoy, all that, that whole conversation is happening in a very public space. Understanding that the divide is not so strict as we probably once thought it was. I do think that the whole for men product thing is probably more, I mean, it probably started as more of a marketing thing to get guys to use products, right? And so,
well, they need to use products.
Of course they do.
God.
I mean, so many guys. I actually, I thought of you guys because I had a really funny experience over the weekend at my husband's family's Passover dinner. And I think it could, it goes into this because it's a, it's very much a, like, generational thing, right? So we're sitting at this big table and I was on one side and I kind of stayed out of it because I wanted to observe what was happening. And on one corner of the table was this group of cousins, like guy cousins who are around my age, like early 30s, you know, and they're super, they're like your average guy, right? They're not, you know, they obviously don't care about grooming. They, you know, all that stuff. On the other side was their dad, who's like 65, maybe even 70. And the guys, the younger guys were talking about using Biore pore strips. And they were like, oh my God, do you, this thing, like you put it on like your nose and you take it off and you look at it and it has all this schmutz in it and blah, 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 blah. And the dad was like, what, like, what is that? What are you talking about? And he was like, oh, it's this thing you put on your nose. And the, like the dad goes, that's not very manly. And the son was like, he was like, whatever.
Like, but he, so he didn't care, like, that his
he
dad.
He didn't care at all.
Did we have a teaching moment there?
I was just like, this is really interesting, because this, that.
This isn't your family, by the way.
No, this is, well, it's like my, through,
we got, we're
through
loaded
marriage.
Here.
So,
through
loaded. Marriage. So what do you think? Like, what are your, you know.
I just think that.
Dr. Munz.
I mean, I look at guys like my dad, who are now dealing with a lot of issues that could have been solved if they had, for instance, worn sunscreen.
So women from a certain era as well might have expectations on men, and that might lead into it.
Totally.
So maybe, you know, older gentlemen just want to go there, but, like, think, what will my wife say?
That's a really good point. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's so interesting, though, because you look at that, you know, generation, right? And they have these very distinct ideas of what is masculine, what's, like, you know, what's feminine. But then I think maybe it's because of, like, we have more information now. Maybe we're more used to talking about things like this. But I think as we see, like, the millennial generation, of which I'm probably on the older part, like, get older, like, they actually do care about this stuff.
Yeah.
And they know more about it. They're like, oh, yeah, I've heard my entire life that I should be wearing sunscreen, so I wear sunscreen.
Yeah.
You know, like, we just did this story on GQ.com about best anti-aging products for men, and it was like it outperformed what we thought it would, and people were like loving it.
Do you think that it's because they're working age, they want to look like viable, they want to look like, you know, they don't want to look old, they don't want to age out?
I think that's a big part of it. I think for the older guys, like, I would,
when I
would
say older, I mean like 40s. I'm not talking about, like, you know, 80-year-old men.
Totally. I mean, whenever I've talked to any sort of, like, dermatologist or plastic surgeon about men getting fillers or Botox or anything like that, of which I'm a huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
They said that most of the guys that come to them to ask for that stuff, they want it to kind of like get an edge in the workplace or the boardroom, where they're like they're salesmen and they're worried about
their face. I heard about that from Men's Journal. All the sales guys were the first proponents of Botox.
Totally. And it's like, you know, that is something that guys worry about, yeah. You know, and they probably always have, but now they have resources to help themselves feel mm-hmm. better about it or change it or whatever they want. So I think it's like, it's a big thing. And also as you see these kids growing up and this idea of always being camera ready and selfies mm-hmm. and all of that stuff, I think yeah. that they're going to, I think those are the ones that are going to push it even further with the makeup, the concealer, whatever.
What you're talking about is a lot of, you know, it's a lot of pressure and it's a lot of like men's grooming. The side effects maybe not for the better, but one brand that I think is doing an incredible job of, you know, using their powers for good is Axe. I'm really mm-hmm. inspired by what they've done. They're using their image, which was so like bro-ish and so, you know,
how to get the girl.
Little, you know, frat boy and, you know, just so they've completely turned it around and now it's about opening up the conversation to so many guys. We'll put a link on the blog, but I haven't been this excited about a grooming campaign in so long. It's like Find Your Magic, and it's all different kinds of guys, like skinny redheaded guys, guys that look like Napoleon Dynamite, guys that look like Adrian Brody with like the huge nose but are like super hot. What did you think about that ad? I'd love to ask someone in your space.
I think it's great. Did you know that Axe is the number one men's fragrance brand in the world?
I don't doubt it. They're all over the place.
I think it's great. I mean, what I noticed from them is like, I think that we have the disadvantage of like remembering when Axe first came out and remembering that mm-hmm. first campaign and that first kind of point of view.
For those who don't remember, they sprayed it down their pants on their crotch.
And it was very sexual. It was very pickup artist-y, you know? And now I think that they've understood that in order to be for all guys, they have to broaden the conversation.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, just like what we're seeing in the women's beauty space too. It's like this we want to be conscious of all skin tones and sizes and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. I think that the guys want that too. And guys want to see themselves represented in campaigns and photos just as much as women do.
Yeah.
What are some of the other brands that you think are doing a good job marketing to men right now? And by marketing, I mean like fulfilling their needs, not just like selling them something they don't need.
Well, I am super
Oh God, he's
crazy.
Going in a suit. What is he pulling out?
I made some notes.
I feel like he's like at the Oscars. He just like opened up his like lapel. Oh, it's long.
I
love it.
I really
want to know your personal favorites too,
but
just in general, what brands have stood out to you?
I mean, I think that this whole like hyper masculine brown and blue, wood grain, wood chopping, lumberjack vibe is so old-fashioned.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what I think a lot of people think of when they think of, like, men's products, right? Mm-hmm. It's like...
Like Duluth Trading Company.
Yeah, and, like, it all smells like pine and, like, you know, all that stuff. So I'm, like, really into brands like Rudy's, which is a hairline. They have a whole thing of shops that's out of Portland. Seattle.
Yeah.
Bird Hair Care, which is really cool. They started in California, and everything is very surfy.
Yeah.
And, cool. The packaging is, like yellow and black. And their hair care also. I think brands like Ursa Major and Baxter are both really cool.
Oh, so many guys I know love Baxter.
I love Baxter.
That's been around for a while, too.
It has. It was bought recently by L'Oreal.
Was it?
And that's, to my knowledge, is the only, men's brand that L'Oreal has. Just like Lab Series is the only one that Estee Lauder has.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of only mm-hmm. they actually develop for men.
Right.
That kind of thing is to me more modern because it's obviously a men's product, right? Like they go heavy in shaving. They go heavy in kind of like formulating for a guy's skin, quote unquote.
Right.
But it's not like I feel like I need to be in a log cabin chopping wood in order to use it.
Because that's where I see you.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah.
Now, I just took a peek at this. I love this brand.
Do you?
I felt
me too.
Boy smells.
Boy smells.
I know
and
you guys love candles.
Candles.
You are really paying attention, sir.
Well, I'm a candle freak, too.
We're not editing a word of your episode. It's going to be 2 hours
long. This is so freaking... This is, like, better than the Oscar gift bags. This is outrageous.
Oh, thank you.
We have a new favorite guest award, and it goes to Garrett Muntz, the senior fashion editor and grooming director of GQ. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast.
This is too much. Thank you. Time to raise a wand, and Jen, you seem awfully excited about yours. What is it?
It is Vamp Stamp Vink Eyeliner Ink. I don't know about this name with a registered trademark, Vink, like a wink, but with a V. You guys know how I feel about the liquid eyeliner.
It's
tricky. Love it, but you can't go in with fear. I often go in with fear. I start, then there's like a big one, and I got to restart and whatever. And I always use the felt tip pen. But I know that the angled brush and like a gel liner looks better, crisper line, lasts longer, but I still have trouble doing it. So I recently tried this. You get the little pot, but it's not a gel liquid liner. It's almost like a stamp pad.
Okay.
Loaded with like this rich inky black.
Okay.
And then you get the nice little stiff angled brush.
Wow.
And you just sort of stamp the brush into the little compact.
So it's a brush like almost like a quill, like an old timey.
Yeah, a little bit. And then because it's so evenly distributed on the bristles, it doesn't like drag a little. Like sometimes I love Bobbi Brown's gel black eyeliner.
Yeah.
But like if you have a little clump extra, it'll like skip a beat.
Yeah.
And then you're effed, you know? So this has a really smooth line and I just use it and I stamp almost the outer corner out like a little angle, and then I drag it back inwards and make it nice and even. I know this company's known for their actual stamps. I tried that. It doesn't work. I don't know.
This is not the original
Vamp
stamp.
This is for someone who's like wants to do their own painting of it. So it's called Vink, V-I-N-K. But it's only $20 and you get the liner and the brush, and it's a really good brush. I feel like for a beginner to liquid black eyeliner, this might be the way to go.
Okay. I'm actually going to try that because I like liquid liner, but I've never found something that I'm like, this is the one, you know?
Maybe this will be your one.
Okay.
Are you raising a wand to?
I am raising a wand to Erin's Rose Day Lotion and Multicolor. This is a product I've never seen before.
Hand it over.
It is of day lotion, which is just, it's a lotion that doesn't have SPF. So let's just call it what it is. It's a lotion. Jen, you're confused. You've just opened it up and you're confused. On the cap of the lotion, well, it's a nice gold cap. It's this nice rosy cream. I like the smell. You have to like roast like this product.
Yes.
But and that you flip open the cap and there's like a tawny sheer brown. And that is this just like, it's like a little bronzer and you can just pat it on your cheeks.
So you use the tube has a face lotion.
Sorry, thank you. The tube.
And the cap pops open and it has little tint.
It has a little tint.
Okay.
And the tint is universally flattering. And I'm not saying that in just like a beauty editor way. Like it really will like go on. Like it's so sheer. Like you could see this, Jen. Just vouch for me. It's so sheer. It will look rosier on some people. It will look like just shimmer if you have a deeper complexion. It'll just add a little luminosity if you have a deeper
tone. Yeah, it's like
tone.
A nice dewy finish to
nice
it.
Nice dewy finish. You know how we talked about a few weeks ago, like, do you ever go out without makeup? And I was like, yeah, but sometimes I don't like it. I don't feel finished. I don't feel myself. This is that perfect step. Sometimes when I leave the house in the morning to like run an errand, and I'm not putting on a full face of makeup, I put this on. I put sunscreen over, of course.
You put both the lotion and the tint.
I put the lotion on.
All over.
Then I put sunscreen because, unfortunately, this doesn't have an SPF. Erin, are you hearing
Erin
me?
Lauder, you hear
yes.
that?
Yes, I know you're listening. And then I put the tint on because it's just all in one tube, cheek, lip, and then I even put a little bit in the crease of my eyes just so we have a monochromatic thing happening. Bam, I'm out the door. I run my errands. I come back. I don't feel like, you know, like a housefrau, and I come back and I feel completely polished, and then I add makeup on top.
That's a cute product.
It's a great product. It
and
is
good for
pricey.
Travel, like.
Yeah, it's $55. This is a luxury product. Who's kidding who? But it's really, really nice. It's a nice treat.
Okay, raise a wand.
Raise a wand. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.